keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.
Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on Dynasty Wall Street. Happily on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed. I am your host, Russ Fisher, here three in a row. So I'm going to start saying, as always, with John Bosch and Kane Fissell. So, I mean, let's just get straight into it. This is the game that Bobby Koch loves to criticize us about. It's the show that John Bosch loves to make me cry at. And Kane's just lovely. I mean, how you doing, Kane? You doing good?
I'm doing well. How are you, buddy?
I'm good that I get to talk to you now. But, I mean, since we have to go in order, unfortunately, hey, John Bosch, who do you have at QB for us?
All right. No, yeah, no wide receiver to make you cry this week, Russ.
It's again, T. Higgins at quarterback.
Yes. Yes,
101, baby. Let's do it.
He probably could play quarterback. No. This is a quarterback who I'm kind of curious what his dynasty value is. Dynasty, which means we are playing beyond just a year. Quarterbacks, everybody wants that 10-year quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I don't want that, of course, but no. Some people want that, we should say.
And to interrupt John's little thing, I always three in a row forget to say, we use the Dynasty Trade Calculator based on 12-team Superflex PPR leagues. So that's where these values are going to come from.
So, Mr. Tom Brady, the GOAT, the 44-year-old quarterback who looks better than a lot of 24-year-old quarterbacks. Tom Brady comes in on the calculator at 17.5 in Superflex. That's a mid-2022 first, which has me torn, to be completely honest. That has me very, very torn. So let's go with you, Kane. Where do you stand? Would you rather Brady or the pick?
This, I feel like, is the classic case of, am I competing this year?
Yeah.
Right. If it's my pick, right? If it's my pick and I have a 2022 first and I'm competing and I've been starting, you know, maybe a guy like Trevor Lawrence, maybe guys that have some long-term value but aren't performing this year, I'm totally fine giving up a first for Tom Brady, because the hope is Tom Brady makes that mid-2022 first a late first. That's the goal, right, that I keep winning. But if I'm not competing, Tom Brady's gone. Like, I play in a three-year window, and I see Tom Brady having value for 2 years. And if you can be so crazy good at one draft where you can get all the good players in a rookie draft and you can somehow rebuild an entire team in a year, good for you. That's not how it usually works.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, if I'm rebuilding, I'll take the pick. If I'm competing, give me Tom Brady and I'll happily ride Tim into the sunset.
Timmy. Yeah. Okay. So it's really funny because John and I co-own a team and we needed a quarterback at one point. So we went looking through the teams, and Tom Brady was on a bad team.
Not why I brought this up. I forgot about that, but yes, we did.
And John refused to pay a first for him. He's like, let's see if we can get him for a second. Right away, the guy rejects it and counters for first plus, of course. And we just rejected because we knew John wasn't going to want that. But the truth is, you should and you probably do have to pay a first to get Tom Brady. And like Kane said, this is pretty spot on value to me.
Didn't we end up getting him?
We got someone. Did we get Brady? Oh, yeah, because I think it was part of that giant deal that got us McCaffrey also.
Yeah, okay.
Which finally, that's paying off, but another story. So, yeah, this is pretty spot on value-wise. Like Kane said, if you're not competing and you're not competing next year, take the pick. If I'm competing next year, I don't know, man. Like, because Brady's still going to be doing what Brady does next year, but you can still get a quarterback that does pretty close to what he does for that pick at least later on if you want to?
I don't know if you can.
I'm going to stick with Brady. If my team is competing this year or next year, I want Brady. And I know this is going to be the answer of anyone that's older than like 24. It's always going to be, if we're competing, give me the player. If we're not, give me the picks. But here, man, like, I'm done trying to say this guy's gone after this year. You know, I tried it with Larry Fitzgerald. It failed. I still think Frank Gore is coming back as, what was it, like Derek Gore or whatever it is. Tom Brady's going to play until he doesn't want to play anymore. And as long as he wants to play, he's going to be really good. So I'm straight up saying, give me Tom Brady.
Wow. The Kane's answer of, you know, competing versus non-competing.
Trying to not take the soft stance. I know. I'm trying to take the hard stance.
It is really, really hard not to take that because he is 44. but he still just looks fantastic. I mean, everything he's doing is better now than it was 10 years ago. That it was.
You don't take Tom Brady is if you firmly believe they'll win the Super Bowl and then he'll retire. To me, that's the only reason you don't take Tom Brady at this point, because he'll play forever.
That's the belief, what is that based on?
Absolutely nothing. That is pure narrative. That is pure in your head. But that's what you got to go by on value, right?
We have pretty solid evidence that he's not going to just win a Super Bowl and walk away. I think that opportunity has presented him recently. And he passed on that idea.
Almost any given time in the past 20 years. Yes.
I'm taking the pick easily if I'm not competing. I hate it, but because of the way I play quarterbacks, Tom Brady's my quarterback too on like a lot of teams right now.
But so is Ben Roethlisberger.
So is Ben Roethlisberger. So yes. Tucson, it can go either way, which is unfortunate. But as much as I love having Brady, if somebody came to me right now and offered me like the 105, 106 for Tom Brady, you know, a pick that really looked like it was pretty locked into, not a playoff pick. Even if I gave them Brady, I don't think Brady's going to put him over the top and put him in the playoffs in the fantasy league. I'm probably taking the pick unless I'm relying on Brady in that league, in which case I can't give him up for anything. I mean, why would you give him up for a mid first if he's helping you to possibly win? So I think the price is right because it makes it hard to decide in a vacuum. So when it comes down to being only circumstantial, that means the price is right one way or another. And if you can get him for a late first, I mean, would you give a late first Kane on a team that no matter what your situation is, you know, you're riding to this championship, you're undefeated or you're 9-1 at this point, you are the clear favorite in the league. You already have two quarterbacks. Would you still give up your future first to have him as the insurance or have him as the icing on the top down the line or anything like that?
Yes, because from what I've learned this year, apparently everyone gets hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is safe. Feels like. I'd rather have Brady down the line because I can stream matchups then. And I think that's the important thing, right? Is I'm able to stream matchups within my own team. And I think that's really, really important.
Okay, Bob Barker, what players do you have around Tom Brady that we are going to rank him against?
All right, so I didn't pull all the players that were immediately around him in the calculator because I wanted to get more of a range. Because honestly, I kind of think his value, I think his value has more of a range than just what was close by him in the calculator. So I've got Tua, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, and Jared Goff.
Give me those names one more time.
Tua, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, and Goff.
Yikes.
I've got a bonus one after it too, but I think we'll all go the same way on the bonus one. So I took that guy off the list.
All right. I actually think I got this pretty easy, so I'm going to go first anyway.
Go for it.
I have Tua one, and it's firstly, because he's like 26 years younger than Tom Brady, but also because I super believe in the player himself. I'm a very big fan of the talent. I'm a fan of the player. And assuming he stays in the situation, I'm a very big fan of the situation. next is Tom Brady. I don't care about the age after that. Production will be worth it for, again, 2 years, because not often do I have players on my team for much longer than that anyway. At three, I have Daniel Jones, because I like Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones isn't bad for fantasy. He might not be great in real life, but that's not what we're talking about. And especially if Saquon can just stop stepping on people's feet and twisting his ankles, that offense will stay better. And oh man, that entire offense, the wide receivers too, just need to stop getting, just stop it already. That's enough. You made me not put Zach Wilson on the bottom, which
I know
hurt my feelings a little bit. And then Goff, because man, into the fourth quarter, Goff had like 56 passing yards. This, like, that, there's no way he's the QB of the future in Detroit. He's going to be riding the bench somewhere. He'll be a, don't get me wrong, he'll be a great backup somewhere. But again, this is fantasy football we're talking, and that doesn't help anyone. So Goff on the bottom. So what did I have? Tua, Brady, Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Jared Goff. What do you got, Kane?
Mine's a little different. I think I have Brady at one. I play in a 3-year window, and I want the shot at quarterback one every week. Tua does not give that.
Yet.
Tua just has age, not points. So I have Tua at two, Zach Wilson at three, because I don't think Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback for the Giants next year.
That entire front office can go away, in which case there's nothing tying them to Daniel Jones, which I get.
Right. And then, so I have Daniel Jones at four, and then Jared Goff. I'm going to say six, just throw in any player between Daniel Jones that separate and Goff.
That's the surprise guy is going to go ahead of Goff, I'm sure.
Oh, the surprise and guy, anyone. I think, is top above all of them.
Okay.
My list was exactly the same as Russ's. And what, when I started looking at these names, what it really did is crystallize how much I would want Brady over the pick. Because in a super flex league, if you think about where, like, Zach Wilson went last year, it was probably around the 107 or 108. You know, maybe he fell to the 110, something like that.
Yep.
After some wide receivers or something, which was, you know, a very nice place to get him. But that's the reason why, like, I kind of felt more like giving the mid first for Brady, because if not, I'm going to spend it on a quarterback that, well, maybe there's Zach Wilson. And like, I'm going to feel forced to do it because, like, it's a quarterback sitting there in the middle of the first, like, this is where I should probably be taking this quarterback. You know, it's the right value to take him, but then it's going to turn out to be somebody that, look, next year, Zach Wilson's probably the starter for the Jets. If it's going badly, it doesn't feel like they're going to stay invested in him for a very long time. I think they'll move quickly because the Jets just don't really stay invested in anybody if it's not working out. And a lot of things just don't work out for the Jets. So that's why he's above that. That difference really made it clear to me how much I would invest.
I love how you worded that, like it's coincidence things don't work out for the Jets.
No, it's not coincidence. Things do not work out for them. I did have Tua first. I will play the age game. The interesting thing would be, so Russ, me and you agree on this, but I'm curious, if you were contending right now with Tua as your QB2, would you approach the Brady manager and flip him right now 1-for-1?
I need to look into it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. For the pure reason of, okay, I almost said I know. And clearly, especially in football in general, you don't know. In fantasy football, you definitely don't know. And when it comes to injuries this season, you really just don't know. But
Brady,
what we've seen so far is it feels like Brady's going to start every game, where Tua likes getting nicked up on different parts of his body every single time for no reason. I by no means think Tua is injury prone, but he finds a way to get hurt a little bit every single week. So I probably would, just because I feel safer playing Brady.
That feels like a flip that you could do in a lot of leagues. If you're heading to the playoffs with Tua, I think you could probably flip him for Brady. To
especially a manager if Brady's on a middling team. Yeah, definitely.
Kane, you got, obviously you wanted Brady above Tua no matter what, but
Yeah, I want points.
Is there any scenario where you would take Brady above Tua? Do you think Tua? Do you think Tua is the Dolphins quarterback next year?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
But you're looking at low end quarterback two production.
Yeah.
In each game. And that's what scares me. And that's what scares me even more. I know this is a wide receiver, but it scares me about Waddle too. Like, he's just not, you're not going to have a lot of passing production, especially if you end up getting a running back that actually has a heartbeat. You know, like, it, I don't know what that team's doing. It scares me a lot.
All right. So one quick one. Would you rather have Rodgers or Brady at this point?
Brady.
Oh.
They're even Steven.
I thought we'd all be Rodgers. I mean, I'm Rodgers. Just he's still very, very good and young, younger than Tom Brady.
Yeah, but we don't know what Rodgers is going to be next year. It's not going to be in Green Bay, right?
Does it matter? You don't think he can do what he does? It's not like he does. It's not like he puts up great numbers in Green Bay because of the surrounding talent. I mean, he's got, you know, one really good receiver who might be playing with him next year somewhere. I don't think he's going to choose a place where he has no receiving options. Like, where could he go that he would have no receivers?
Houston.
To the Joe Rogan podcast.
Maybe. I mean, like, maybe he would. I don't see Rodgers walking away. I don't know. Maybe he could. But
so could
Tom Brady. But I don't see either of these guys stepping away from the NFL for the next year or two, at least.
I'll officially say Rodgers by like just a percent, like 0.1. I can't take the cop out answer of like, oh, they're even, because I would probably rather have Rodgers if someone sent me that trade.
Wow, Russ, I'm surprised you would take Brady straight up.
Yeah, I don't care if it's the right answer; it's just my answer.
No, that's fine. That's all right. That's it for quarterbacks.
All right. Well, Kane has running backs, so why don't you get started?
I don't think there's the player in all of fantasy football land that loves this player more than I do. And as we've seen, injuries are absolutely the worst. But with an injury to Aaron Jones, I think we have to talk about the man with the thighs, A.J. Dillon. Currently, it's A.J. Dillon is the equivalent of a 2022 late first.
I bet that's rising within the next couple of days here.
Oh, for sure. But let's even say like mid to late first, right? Let's say it's right in that, because I think it is going to rise a little bit. It's probably going to rise to a mid first, probably by the time this podcast is out, to be honest with you. I think it's going to rise quickly. But would you rather have that mid to late first or A.J. Dillon?
Mid, I'll take the pick. Late, I'll take Dillon. Like, there's a line in there. I don't know what pick yet, but there's going to be a line in that first where I think I would make that switch. Dillon's good. I don't think he's great. He's a very good runner. I am concerned. That's a lie. I'm not concerned. The Green Bay running backs seem to do fine with a 50-50 split. I think A.J. Dillon walks in perfectly into the running back situation and not the receiving back situation, where maybe he'll get one or two targets a game. Hopefully he catches one or two of them, but he's shown he can run the ball in the NFL, and that's cool. And that's nice. But again, next year there won't be Aaron Rodgers. There might not be Devontae Adams. Like, this might be a very big rebuilding situation for the Packers. So that scares me a little bit, but again, line in the sand. Mid, I don't feel good about it, just because I can get a younger running back that might fall into a better situation. But again, don't know people that well right now. I'll have to wait for you to tell me who that is, Kane. But late right now, especially if Aaron Jones was out for longer, it looks like right now he's only going to miss 1 to 2 weeks. But like, if he were to magically miss the rest of the season, which, oh my God, don't happen. Oh my God, don't happen. But if that were to happen, erase all of this, and I would pay him at first, because I think he'd probably be an RB1 for the rest of the season. So I'm going to stop talking, because I keep changing things and making myself upset thinking about Aaron Jones missing more time.
How about you, John?
Well, I'm definitely not giving him mid first, because he's a running back, and I don't like to have to pay for running backs. When I do, I'm willing to overpay, but I mid first, I don't feel like I'm in the situation where I need to overpay then, because I'm a middling team. I don't think AJ Dillon is the thing that makes my middling team a championship team.
I mean, what if you're a contender that has more than one first? What if you have someone else's first?
I mean, did I lose Aaron Jones?
Maybe. Like, or if, what if you're a what if you're Jones, rebuilding maybe. And you're just you think next year's your year? Do you buy into AJ Dillon now?
If I'm rebuilding, I am never investing. Well, in a
competing
running back.
Next year, yeah. I want to walk into the season ready, so you go and you buy AJ Dillon right now.
No, I
recommend doing that in general for a running back. Yeah, you wait till the season starts, but
correct.
You know, I'm trying to change the conversation to where we always say, oh, well, if I'm rebuilding, I'm going to take the pick. If I'm competing, I'm taking the play.
If I am competing though, I mean, like I did lose Aaron Jones, then I probably am giving my first for him. No, even I wouldn't even give a late for him unless I'm the team that lost Aaron Jones and like needs that replacement, which that feels like an overpay to me. I'm not as big on AJ Dillon as Kane is, but I'm not as big on any running back as anybody is. I hate paying that. And I don't think if I'm giving up a first for a running back, I think I can get somebody that's going to last me. Like you said, Russ, it's not the full season. I'm not out there for the full season right now. If I'm giving up my first to try and invest in a running back to put me over the top, I want a running back that has full season potential, barring injury, which they all have. So, and if it's a mid first, I would rather go out and get like Javonte Williams, who I think has a higher upside. If I'm already paying a mid first, I don't know what Javonte Williams' price is. It feels like it's probably around the mid-first. Maybe I have to add a second onto it or something like that.
I think so.
I'd rather do that. Like if I'm going to pay up for a running back, I'll take the strategy of paying up for the running back that I really, really, really want. A mid-first might not get you Gibson right now after the game he just had, but 2 days ago it would have gotten you Antonio Gibson probably. So like I would rather get a running back. I would rather look to acquire a running back from that tier or look for a terrible team in your league that has Zeke, you know, that has Chubb, something like that, and try to focus on getting a better running back off of a worse team. Because maybe you get a little bit of that discount because they're just starting to look for that rebuild pick anyways.
Before I ask you to list the players around Kane, do you think AJ Dillon is a running back for the future?
Well, I was just going to mention that it's kind of worth noting that Aaron Jones is probably going to be under contract next year. He has a $9.75 million cap hit in 2022.
Okay, my years were off in my head that I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah, so he's probably going to be under contract next year with the Packers. I think that they end up working to re-sign AJ Dillon to a second contract, to be completely honest with you.
I agree.
So yeah, I think he is a running back for the future, but it's still a running back, right? The future is limited. I'm fine paying a late first. I think that totally works for me. Because in this 2022 draft, if I'm wanting a running back, there's only three of them. Right, and there's three good ones, so they're going to be gone by the first seven picks. Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. You have Breece Hall from Texas A&M, Breece Hall from Iowa State, and Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M are really the three running backs that are probably have locked and loaded at least day two capital. But I'm going to take that AJ Dillon for a late first. I think that's a fair deal. But are you ready for this list? Because
yeah, let's hear it.
It doesn't feel great.
I mean, when you initially said AJ Dillon, like I thought, I wonder if it's going to be valued in like that Pollard Madison range where whichever guy ends up getting the starting snaps, just bam, skyrockets above the group. So
AJ Dillon is actually valued ahead of those guys.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So in this list is AJ Dillon, Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Darrell Henderson, and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, man. Oh, CPAT. And he just got, let's hope that injury is Not a lot, because he's way more fun when he it's way more fun to have him healthy.
And granted, I think AJ Dillon is probably going to be moving up in the rankings as well, just due to this injury. So, Russ, you want to go first? What are you thinking?
Okay. I hate this. All right. So, I have Darrell Henderson at one. I believe that he will have a part of next year's offense, even if Akers comes back and he is Akers. You don't take a guy you don't like and make him a workhorse just because there was one injury. If they didn't believe in Henderson, they would have brought more people to actually play, unlike Sony Michel, who just, when Henderson is healthy, he doesn't play. And let's not forget to point out the fact Henderson's doing well with the touches he's getting. So I still put Henderson at one. At two, I put Travis Etienne. Not because I necessarily love the player or love the situation. It's just the fact that his value will be more the second we see those videos of him running. The second we see the videos of him cutting. The second we see a video of him catching the ball out of the backfield. Yeah, his value is just going to keep going up and up. And I think it will, if not now, already be higher than AJ Dillon's. At three, I do put AJ Dillon because the Packers play in Lambeau. They play cold weather football the later you get into the season. And that's going to feed right into AJ Dillon. You know, they're going to be super efficient with their passing game, and then they're just going to run the ball a whole lot. They like to do at least some sort of 60-40-ish split in the backfield. So Dillon's going to get the ball. And especially if Aaron Jones comes back and he's not 100%, they'll keep the split going further and further. So I put AJ Dillon at three. At four, I put Kareem Hunt. Because him and CPAT are kind of the same thing. You know, they'll get five or six carries, five or seven receptions a game. Hunt is just on a better team. And I think his career will last a little longer than Cordarrelle Patterson's. I mean, if Patterson gets re-signed, goes to another team, this seems too lightning in a bottle to be repeatable. You know, I don't think if he goes somewhere else, this is repeatable. If they re-sign him or whatever they do, I don't know what his contract is. Eventually, they're bringing in an actual running back, in which case Patterson's probably going to go back to being an actual wide receiver, in which case he's useless, especially in this list of running backs. So I put him at the bottom at five.
And he's 30 years old on a one-year contract, by the way.
Exactly. Another reason I think like this is just like lightning in a bottle. This is Gary Barnage. This is other old guys that show up out of nowhere and then just completely disappear the next year.
John. I have Etienne first. He's I still like him. I just like it, Travis Etienne. He was my favorite running back coming into this class. I think I ended up hedging like him and Harris 50-50 because Harris, when he landed in Pittsburgh, I mean, that pushed him over the top. But I still like Etienne to the point where I don't think that James Robinson is that much of a problem for him. And it's mostly because the Jaguars told me that they like Travis Etienne. Yes, sir.
No, sorry. There's a spot. I can't tell if it's on my screen or on the wall behind me. So I put my hand in between where the dot is, and I saw that the dot was still there, so it was on my screen. I got it. Don't worry about it, guys. Right.
So Travis Etienne, number one on my list. I have Henderson, number two. I think that they did tell us exactly what they thought about him when they, you know, when drafted Cam Akers. Like, of course, Cam Akers' injury is a little bit more severe than Travis Etienne's, so he might not be fully back. You know, if they didn't have an injury to Cam Akers, would Henderson really be of any value at all? Probably not. Like,
last year, they were using more than one running back. So I just think if Akers didn't even get hurt, I still think Henderson has a decent split of this offense.
Some, yeah. But it's more like that Kareem Hunt split, which is, you know. But
I think every player on this list is a split. I don't think anyone on this list is a full-time running back.
I think that's why I chose them.
I think Etienne.
Oh, you're so good, Kane.
He's the only one that I think could, and that's only because I think, you know, I just won't believe in James Robinson until Jacksonville tells me they believe in James Robinson with money or with not drafting a running back, like not bringing in somebody to replace him. If they show me that, then I'll believe it's a split. And they should not draft another running back. They should be fine in that area. I don't know if they can pay him after this year or not. I know there was something about like his rookie contract, like it couldn't be extended before this year or something. But
I think it's the third year.
If they want to pay him, I got to believe they could pay him, or they could show some confidence in him beyond just drafting a running back. They shouldn't never draft an ETN. James Robinson, I would value a lot higher if they did not draft ETN, but they did. So that tells me something. You're right. It is probably a split, but I think ETN gets the bulk. I think Henderson gets the minority if Cam Akers comes back healthy. Again, that's a big if because that injury is scary as hell. A.J. Dillon, I don't think he gets the bulk of the split in Green Bay because I don't even think he gets the bulk of the split the rest of the year. He's got a couple of weeks here to show what he can do, which would be interesting and fun, but it's not like he's going to keep that bulk of the workload when Aaron Jones comes back. I have Hunt fourth. I think that's kind of a tier break, though, honestly, after A.J. Dillon. And then I think it's another tier break to Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson, fun as hell. Love having him on teams. It's been awesome to be able to slot him in and get production from a guy that honestly is probably waiver wire value heading into the season. And now all of a sudden, you could probably get a second for him. I probably should have traded him away on any team that wasn't a competing team and just taken the second and run because his value is going to just, if he's a running back, his value is going to fall through the floor. And if he's a wide receiver, like it's not like he's a great wide receiver putting up a lot of points. He's getting points because of the way he's being used this year. And you're right. I don't think it's sustainable. I think it might last for a little while. Like he might have that role going forward, but it's not going to be to this amount of impact. He might still get two or three rushes a game,
yeah,
and four or five targets a game and just be used as that weapon on the field. But surely Atlanta's going to have some additional weapons in 2022 and have some other options. And they're not going to have to rely on Cordarrelle Patterson, a then 31-year-old running back receiver, to beat out Mike Davis. I mean, that's like, if that's his only competition, he'll probably repeat the year, but Atlanta just can't do that again. Like they can't.
For me, I have Darrell Henderson first, ETN second, AJ Dillon third, and then Kareem Hunt at four and Cordarrelle Patterson at five. I think, I think, you know, everything that all you are saying makes the most sense, right? Henderson, AJ Dillon, and ETN probably have the best chance long-term to make a splash in the NFL. Like that's just the way that it feels right now, because you know a couple of them are already scoring points and ETN was a first round pick. Kareem Hunt at four, Cordarrelle Patterson, like I don't have him on many teams. If I picked him up in the waiver wire, I'd already traded him at this point. So that's my list.
I kind of feel like AJ Dillon, remember Khalil Herbert came in, took over for a few weeks, like looked great. I'm sure his value spiked during that time, but now Montgomery's back and it's like now Herbert's been forgotten about again. I think there's a risk that AJ Dillon does that. Like he wasn't really
been getting touches even before Aaron Jones got hurt. So
not like a lot. I mean, he wasn't having a huge impact, was he?
Huge, no, but an impact.
What was it? Were you starting him? Was he in any starting lineup for you?
You're assuming I own a share of AJ Dillon, which
saying, like,
is not the case right
press
now.
That, did you press that starter button for him at all?
I mean, with the injuries and bye weeks going on, how ugly some of my lineups are, I would, yes. I started Savon Ahmed this week.
Yikes. So yeah,
it was not
fun. You said you are a fan of his and you have not pressed that start button yet.
Not yet. But yeah, he has, you know, Steelers week four, he had 15 carries. Just the past 3 weeks, if you look at that, Cardinals, he had 16 carries. Chiefs, he had 8 carries, 4 receptions. Then this game against the Seahawks, 21 carries, 2 receptions.
Yeah, I mean, this was huge, obviously, for him because he took over. So he's the starter while Aaron Jones is out. when Aaron Jones comes back, you're probably not pushing starter on him. So, like, how do you really want to invest a first round pick in a guy that you don't even feel comfortable pushing the start button on?
It depends how you feel, how long this injury is going to be for Aaron Jones.
Yeah, and that's probably the key. Like, if you're getting rest of season production for AJ Dillon, he's worth that first.
Right.
He's worth it. All right. But so it was an MCL sprain, just to be clear, right? It was an MCL sprain. So that's probably 2 to 4 weeks, right? Like something in there.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with 1 to 2 because it makes me feel better.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go anywhere from 1 week to a year.
That is the perfect amount. I mean, so he should be back like by fantasy playoff time.
Next season, yes, by fantasy playoffs next season. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely by then.
You know, the question is, are they going to bring him back fully, or are they just gonna start to bring him in slowly? Right? That's the question when you have an injury like that. How quickly are they gonna bring Aaron Jones back in? And as it gets colder at home in Lambeau, I think Aaron Jones just gets more receiving work and AJ Dillon is just gonna run the rock.
I think there's a very good shot of that.
That basically just makes AJ Dillon touchdown dependent. So then it's like, how much do you like the Packers offense? Like, do you think they're going to get in the red zone and give Aaron Jones the ball? Or AJ Dillon the ball?
No, it'll be Aaron Rodgers throwing to Devontae Adams.
I'm also okay with that. Not going to lie. But speaking of perfect transition.
Devontae Adams.
That's my wide receiver.
Oh my gosh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went with John's
congratulations,
team.
Packers fans. Fun episode for you.
Team old guy is really what I went with. Team old guy wide receiver. Because before the season started, I was screaming from the rooftops that Devontae Adams was still my wide receiver one in Dynasty. I completely understand the age and everything. And regardless of what I think, he's not the wide receiver one anymore. So that's fine with all you people that like being wrong. But Devontae Adams is worth an early and late first. He comes in at 40 on Dynasty Trade Calculator, and an early and late comes in at 38.9. So to me, I'd rather it was closer below to go first and late as opposed to go early and late as opposed to early and mid, which was a bit of an overshoot.
But basically, you're giving up 2 firsts.
Yeah. But an early and late makes it seem like more of a conversation, which is what I was really going for. So, John, since you brought me Devontae Adams in that wonderful transition, and I thank you for it, Devontae Adams or an early and late first?
I'll take Devontae Adams. unfortunately, I've been playing Dynasty long enough to remember the days where an early first can become a guy that was drafted highly and terrible. Oh, my God. Now I'm blanking on his name.
Devontae Adams?
No. Hold on. I just had it.
No, because he was drafted somewhat early and was terrible in the beginning.
Oh, my God. Who was like the slam dunk wide receiver pick in like 2016, 2017 or something?
N'Keal Harry?
Yeah. No. Laquon Treadwell? Yes. Laquon Treadwell. That's the name I was
looking
for. Josh Doxing,
Corey Coleman.
Why do you have to bring up Laquon Treadwell?
sorry, Kane.
Minnesota fans have been hurt enough.
This is really a Packers heavy episode. It was the Vikings.
Bears suck. Let's just get like everything in there for the Packer fans.
Field goal left. All right. yes, you definitely know. we have gone down a road here, folks. Let's get it back together. Yes, you can definitely get stud receiver with early wide receiver picks. Ja'Marr Chase looks amazing. We all wanted him. Everybody wanted him. Nobody was afraid of him. He dropped a few passes in the offseason. None of us, I don't really think, freaked out. Like, we saw the writing on the wall there. Guess what? It wasn't that long before then where people thought that about N'Keal Harry, thought that about Laquon Treadwell. So, like, as much as we think we can nail early first-round picks, sometimes it goes wrong. Late first round picks, those go wrong a lot of times. I mean, like the hit rate percentage just goes down the further you get down on the draft board. Adams is a hit. Adams is not going away this year, not going away next year. I don't think he's going away the year after that. So you're telling me that like I can have Davante Adams production. And I really do believe that his production will be tied to Aaron Rodgers. I don't see those two playing a part. Wherever Rodgers goes, if they can afford it, I think Adams goes there too. I don't know any reason why he wouldn't want to continue to play with Rodgers, because their connection is insane. And it makes him money. It makes him productive. It just seems like the perfect fit to continue to work together. So in my mind, he's tied to Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Like Davante Adams should go sign with Aaron Rodgers' agent, yes, and just have, yes, both of their names on the contract and figure it out from
just
there.
Just do a combo deal, a two for one, you know? So I think his production stays at a high level until he's done. I don't think he's a guy that's going to like kind of fade off. Like we've seen T.Y. Hilton, you know, who went from being very, very good receiver to like, he's still hanging around, or AJ Green, you know, like he's still around, that has a good game every once in a while. Davante Adams feels different that he should be elite until the end. I'm going to take Davante Adams in this. I will give an early and a late first for him, because I think that production is just a smash.
How you feeling, Kane?
I like Davante Adams a lot. But the question is, am I willing to pay this price? If I'm trading away these picks, I'm probably going to get a future second added on to the Adams side, and then I would do it. That's how I feel.
That's probably not out of the question in a deal like this.
They rejected that counter.
No, but never mind. I'm looking at like a 23 second, not a 22 second.
Oh, okay.
So just get something back down the line. But no, I think, like John said, Adams is going to produce at a high level. Like, I'm fine giving up the first if you believe that he gets you there. You know, I think winning is the most important thing in fantasy football. So yeah, I would give up the firsts.
For That's the Adams. Right answer. Just going to put it out there.
Mainly because I think a lot of these quarterbacks have question marks in this 2022 draft. And normally we see the first running back off the board be a top 12 running back in fantasy football right away. And I don't see that in this class. So I think the running backs are going to be slightly devalued when it comes to the whole scheme and the whole like landscape of fantasy football trades. So I guess I would take Adams instead of the picks.
I'm pretty easily on Adams. So, and by the way, a 23 second is worth 4 points right now on DTC. So that's not swaying the deal, I don't think. So I think if you threw that in, it wouldn't be a problem. I don't know. I'm making up this scenario just to make you feel better and to keep the conversation going. I take Adams. I would easily pay this. I believe in the player so much that I completely agree with John. He's not the kind of player that speed is the biggest part of his game. I mean, he is a very large man who happens to be a very good route runner. So while speed helps, it's not something he absolutely needs. And so I'm absolutely 100% on the Davante Adams side of this. For funsies, when I took my list of players to rank Adams against, I only went 27 years or older, because I am taking the ageists out of this. You ready? Okay. My list is, we started with Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, which is still weird to think that he's over 27, because that dude just seems like he was eternally 23 years old, and then Mike Evans to finish it up. So Tyreek, Adams, Diggs, Kupp, Nuke, Cooper, Evans. Whoever's ready first, just start talking.
I don't like this list.
I love this list. This is my wheelhouse list. This is where I live.
I guess I can go first. I can go first. I think I have Adams at one. Tyreek Hill is at two for me. I think Cooper Kupp is three. I'm going to chase that production until it stops happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of this list gets pretty clear for me. I think the top four are in a tier of their own, and my fourth is Diggs. I think mm-hmm. the top four are clearly better than what's left here. I would rather have Hopkins at five when he's healthy. I think he is a great player. And then I'm going to go Amari Booper Cooper at six because I feel like he's going to play for another 90 years because somehow he's played for like 10, it feels like.
Yep.
Like I feel like he's just always in the NFL.
Exactly.
And then Evans at seven because I tend to shy away from high variance wide receivers.
You see that yak he got after for that touchdown this game, though? He did not just catch a ball and fall down. He actually ran like 15 yards. He was pretty winded after it.
Same. I was winded watching it.
Well, we are alike in having Evans at seven, which he's just, hasn't he had like 1,000 yards every year? Like, isn't that his thing?
Every year.
Like, yet he doesn't rate anywhere above any of these other receivers for us. That's just, it's crazy. And it was like, he was easily number seven for me. It wasn't really something I had to think about. I wrote him down before I wrote down number one. It's just strange. It's probably a sign that I should go kick tires for Mike Evans because like if he's that easily so the bottom of the list for both of us so quickly, his production's probably better than his value. It's just, I mean, he feels like one of those players that I should probably go take a look at to see just how cheap he is. So I have a top three, and that is a tier. And for me, it goes Tyreek, Adams, Diggs. I honestly really don't care how you order them. I put Tyreek there because he's with Mahomes, who
hey, before this week, Mahomes was terrible. He was washed.
He was washed, yeah. Mahomes is like, you know, the guy. So I'm okay with him being the guy. I don't think the defenses are really going to like solve Patrick Mahomes to the point where they can never adjust. Look, he's that good. He's going to use Tyreek Hill. And so he's my number one. Adams two, Diggs three. Seriously, order them however you want. That tier to me is above the next group. And the next group is, I have Nuke at four, Amari at five, Cup at six. Cup, again, chronically undervalued, just always, always undervalued. That's why I have him on so many teams, because he's so easy to acquire. It's disgusting. He is literally having a fantastic year. Like, is he still the top receiver? I guess we have to see what happens tonight. But, like, he's still way up there in wide receiver scoring. And he might be one of the easiest to acquire players off this list. You know, granted, it's always tough to buy from a contending team, but if you're looking at your rankings at the end of the week, when those standings update and you're looking at the bottom six teams in your league and you see Cooper Kupp on one of them, I bet you can all go offer a first and get him, which is just sad. Like, all these guys are worth more than that, but I bet Kupp is just easy to acquire.
Wide receiver two in scoring right now is Tyreek Hill, who has 212.6 points. He played already this week.
Okay.
Cooper Kupp, who has not played yet this week, is still wide receiver one at 236.8. So he's already 24 points ahead before playing this game.
I mean, right? I want to acquire all these guys. Like, literally, yeah. I want to add all of these guys.
This is my wheelhouse of wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, they're all in that point where they're getting cheaper because they're getting old. And I air quoted that for those that couldn't hear it in my voice. Yes, they're getting old, but they're all very productive. They're going to remain productive. Target these wide receivers. Look for those bad teams that have these guys and go and get them. Give up your first for them. Offer that first and second, you know, like, oh, you get both my picks. Give up your first and second. If it's the 106, the 107, and the 206, 207, somewhere in there, like, who cares? You're going to be a lot happier for the next 2 years if you have one of these guys on your roster. Mm-hmm. Oh, I say that, but I did turn down a first to Matt Price. He offered me Nuke for my first in a league.
Yeah, but that's Matt. That's different.
Yeah, that's Matt. I don't like trading with him. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about that on the spot. I mean, I have enough wide receivers, so like I didn't need it.
And because it's Matt. All right. So no, my list is
now I'm wondering if I should go make that offer back to him.
Think about it later. We got a show to do.
All right.
I have Adams at one because how I started this conversation was saying that he was my one before the season, and that's not going to change based on Tyreek Hill, who I have at two.
Way to be flexible.
And Stephon Diggs at three. after it's kind of mushed, I am, unlike you guys, I have Nuke last. Ooh. And it's mostly because it's anecdotal. Like, I'm annoyed with him right now with the amount of nicked up he's getting and with how spread out they want the ball to be, in which case they're going to keep drafting wide receivers. Rondale Moore is going to get better and they're going to draft someone else because AJ Green is super old. So I still think that's going to keep happening. Okay, but let me actually go in order. At four, I have Cooper Kupp, and it's because of the points. Also because he's the kind of wide receiver where age doesn't necessarily matter. He's 27, 28 years old. But he's not fast. It's all about how good of a route runner he is and how good he is playing against zone and how he just is every quarterback's safety blanket. I don't think that goes away, and I don't think Stafford's going away. So if they keep getting breakfast together, we still have a wide receiver, the wide receiver one on our hands.
They seem to like each other.
Yeah. At five, I have Cooper, and it's just because I think his game is more well-rounded than Evans. While, again, Evans is perennially awesome and perennially undervalued, I don't care. I really like Cooper. I think he stays around in Dallas and Michael Gallup leaves. If that's the case, I love the offense of Dak throwing to CD and Amari Cooper. I think that's awesome. So I'm good with that. Evans survived so long on volume, and now the volume's not super there, and that's why he's so streaky as he is. He's very up and down because it was wonderful that he used to get 12 or 13 targets every game, and with Brady, who's the best quarterback he's played with, and with the Godwin and Antonio Brown and Gronk, assuming any of those guys ever get healthy again, there's no reason for him to start getting the targets again, in which case that's why it pushes him down a little bit. And I said Nuke is on the bottom, and it's really just, it has nothing to do with his age. You know, if he just would stop whatever twisting his ankles or pulling a hammy or whatever's been keeping him out every other week, and if he were still, because like at the beginning of the season, at the end of last season, it didn't matter how much they spread the ball out, he was still their most targeted, the most routes run, and he was more consistent fantasy point scoring wise, and that's what's really important. If that comes back, I'll change my order, but until that does, he's number seven for me.
I think I changed my order while you were talking.
Cool.
Well, I would give up, like, I would give up Nuke. I would give up Amari. I would give either one of those up, straight up, one for one for Kupp. Even though I hate one for one trades at the same position, they don't make sense. It's
yes,
never a good move. Like, if somebody offered me Kupp for DeAndre Hopkins, I would take Kupp right now. I would do the same over Amari. So, like, thinking about it that way, I think Kupp moves up to four on my list, which is probably more fair.
More fair. All right, Kane, any ending shots before we get out of here?
How do you have him ranked? Did he go?
Did you go?
Yeah,
he went first. Oh, he started. That's right. This was
don't Russ. Confuse me.
That's right.
I'm very Russ easily confused.
My bad.
I'm just going to go out and send some offers, I think, for Cooper Kupp and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's especially if the team isn't like top three in the league, go get them. All right, everyone. This has been another awesome, super fantastic episode of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Kane Vassell at Devi underscore Kane. Did that for the first time without stuttering to go say Devi Kane first. Yes, even though I brought up my mistake right after it, so that completely ruined it. And we'll catch you next time on Dynasty Wall Street.
Welcome into Wall Street, we ain't got time for games. We're breaking down the ADP, giving you the names. We are all people who can find the value that you need. If you play our market, honey,